I'm sure by now it should be pretty obvious that I'm not a scientist, even though I like to play one on YouTube. The main reason I can't call myself a scientist is because I don't have the education for it. Even though I always wanted to, I never got to study science in a formal school classroom environment. But also another reason for me not being able to call myself a scientist is that I don't like to limit myself. I truly love science. Pretty much anything and everything I do is in some way, somehow related to science. Even when I daydream pretty much only about science or scientific ideas. But what I mean when I say I don't like to limit myself to science is that even though I like to use the tools that scientists, that actual bona fide scientists use, for example, mathematics or analytical tools, logic, I don't limit myself questions that would normally be answered by science. A few good examples of what I mean is my video on UFOs, in which I not necessarily come to a conclusion that UFOs are extraterrestrial vehicles, but that I come to the conclusions that they could very likely be extraterrestrial vehicles, and in fact that we should hope that they are, because if they're not, if UFOs are not extraterrestrial vehicles, that implies something extremely negative in our future. I explain what I mean better in that video. But the reason I think it's a good example of me not sticking to pure science is that I can come up with conclusions through the scientific method, but not stop there. Keep going until I get a satisfactory, truthful answer, or a likely truthful answer. Another good example would be my video about the Fermi paradox, which again, I don't stop at what science can prove. I use math to come to a conclusion that I think is most likely the truth. So anyways, the reason I bring up my lack of scientific credentials or my lack of limiting myself to science is that I also like to tackle questions that I know pretty much all scientists would stay away from, probably to avoid ridicule, but also because they know that science as it is right now cannot answer those questions. So anyways, though, what my whole point here is that that I'm going to try to come up with an idea for an afterlife that it will not be, that I will have to go outside of the scientific method to come up with a scenario of an afterlife that's somewhat based on science, on scientific facts, but I will also have to take a few leaps of faith. Hopefully this will make some sense after I get into the description of an afterlife. Scenario where an afterlife could be possible, I'm going to have to take a few leaps of faith. And the first leap of faith, of course, will be that our soul or consciousness will survive the physical death of our bodies, including our brain. So I think it'll be safe to assume that this free-floating consciousness of ours will be massless. So it should have the same attributes as other massless objects, for example, photons, light particles. We know, as a matter of scientific fact, that photons, light particles, travel at the speed of causality, which means that they can traverse the enormity of space instantaneously from their perspective. So our free-floating massless consciousness should be able to do the same. It should be able to traverse the enormity of space instantaneously from its perspective. But let's take another leap of faith and assume that since our free-floating massless consciousness is not limited by death, and apparently it's not limited by space, let's assume that it's also not limited by time. Let's assume that this free-floating massless consciousness can travel faster than the speed of light, the speed of causality, which means it will be able to, supposedly it will, traverse the enormity of time pretty much instantaneously. So now this free-floating massless consciousness will be able to travel back in time and relive the life that it created for itself. Let's take one last leap of faith and assume that because our consciousness is no longer within the human body, within the brain, that it also does not have the limitations of the human brain. The human brain, because of the way it developed, because of the way it evolved through the eons, from a lizard brain to what was essentially a rabbit brain, to eventually a monkey brain, and then an ape, and eventually a human, because of the way it evolved, it has quite a few limitations. One of them being our instincts, our self-preservation nature, which might lead us to self-centered behavior. So now, because of our free-floating massless consciousness is no longer within the brain, it might have superior intelligence. It might be more self-aware. So this free-floating consciousness will be able to traverse the enormity of space and time, will have the possibility of re-witnessing from a third-person perspective the life that it created for itself. So now this free-floating consciousness will be fully aware of the consequences of its actions. It will be able to completely understand the effect its actions had on the people around them, its parents, its kids, its siblings, and society in general. It will be able to be completely aware of the cascading effect its actions had on society. This to me makes a much more sensible, practical, and just heaven or hell. It will be able to comprehend the injustices that it induced or paraded through its life. And it will also feel the effects of its good deeds. Like I said earlier, this to me makes a much more just and practical heaven or hell. This is just an idea. It's not what I expect to happen. In fact, I would be extremely surprised if this is actually what happens. It's just an idea of what could be, somewhat based on science, but not limited to it. I guess that's it. We'll be right back.